AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we gear up for the start of the new Scottish Football League season. The League Cup group stages come to a close with the likes of Celtic, Falkirk and Rangers Alloa to look forward to in the knockout rounds. Pre-season is done with the likes of Middlesbrough and Al Ahly providing final tests, and transfer rumours continue at quite a pace. Mikey Moore closing in on an Ibrox move as Jakob Brum on his way to Celtic. I'm Gordon Duncan, delighted to be back in the two-hour format of Clyde One Super Scoreboard for a new season on a Monday night in the company of Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
9 weeks since we've been together, gentlemen. You two have been away topping up your tans. I've been here at the coalface of truth with Hugh Keevans and Andrew McLean. So let me tell you what you've missed.
Go for it.
New manager at Rangers, at Hearts, at Motherwell, at Kilmarnock, at Dundee, even at Partick Thistle, you may have heard. New players absolutely everywhere. We've been through a group stage of the Premier Sports Cup already. Some of the Premiership teams are even out. Tonight, everyone, you do not need Trump and Starmer at what an Ayrshireman calls a home of golf. You need Hannah and Halliday at the home of football.
Agreed. You said number nine. I'm going to go five. Fifth pre-season with Clyde One for myself.
Listen, warm weather training camp.
Oh yeah, and it's good to be back, but I just want to make sure there's no hostility between you two. I've seen this guy in the old hot seat over the summer trying to take your place.
He's trying to take my job. There's been one or two worrying rumours coming out over the summer. I actually noticed that the phone number is still printed in massive font and it's hung up on the wall. Naturally, I don't need it because it's second nature. And I said, why is the phone number up on big print? And the producer just pointed at Roger Hanna.
The old Hanna man.
Try to take my gig.
I left my specs in the car that night.
How was it?
We did it a couple of times. It was fine, thank you.
Oh, a couple of times.
An awful lot of buttons to press and an awful lot of plates to spin.
Easier than the pundit hot seat?
No, more difficult. He went up in my estimation.
I probably started from a fairly low bar.
Maybe. Anyway. And then, of course, the week after, I let Gabriel do it, and that really burst my bubble.
0141-951-1025, whether it's printed up on the wall or not, that is still the number that you call. I have missed you all greatly. 9 weeks away, just wondering what the new season will provide for us. And we're nearly there. As Roger says, what a summer of change, managerial change, players coming and going. We're almost there. All that stuff that seems important over the summer, it's almost showtime. This is the week the Premiership season returns. So give us a call, please. We're back from now until 8 o'clock. You've been suitably looked after over the summer with the 1 hour version keeping you ticking over. But here we are, back in our traditional slot. So please give us a call. 0141 951 1025. It is a bit of a blank slate on this Monday. Transfers, are your team doing enough? Who do you want to see brought in? What are you making of the latest rumours? Pre-season is done, that's it, a line drawn under it. What have you learned? What are your early impressions of what your team is going to serve up for you this season? What do they need to do better? The League Cup group stage, we've got a fantastic draw to look forward to. European qualifiers, what more could you want? 0141 951 1025. How have you been, Andy Halliday?
I've been really good, thank you.
New manager busy at the Steelmen.
Yeah, new manager. A bit of a shock at the time. Wasn't expecting Michael Wimmer after 3 minutes in the door to be leaving. But obviously football nature, you move on. And new managers came in. A lot of new ideas, new faces. So like everybody else, just excited for the season to start.
I had actually forgotten about that, the way that he delivered the news to me. So I'll be honest, I was trying to really relax at the start of the time off, as you do, obviously. Remember the good weather we had?
Yeah.
I had the feet up, outdoor pool, thinking nothing can ruin my day. And he phoned and said, I hope you're sitting down because Michael Wimmer has left Motherwell for 12 games in charge. It's been that type of summer, Roger. So much going on.
Can I just say to you,
forget the swimming pool and all that.
Mrs. Halliday better not be listening to this show.
Because that was my big news of the summer.
Because you are referring to a change of management at Motherwell is your big news of the summer. Andrew, congratulations on an expanded family.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's kept me busy.
I was going to say, I was laughing when he said, are we topping up tans? We've been changing nappies all summer. You think you'd have hard been here looking after Hugh Keevans? It's easy.
Yep, it's kept me busy, but I'm sure we've got another Super Squad listener. I'm sure she's listening tonight, so I better be careful of what I'm saying.
Sure, that's a sleeping tablet for anyone that needs it. But go on, do give us a call, 01419511025. How has pre-season been for you? Did it get harder the older you get? What has the new manager been like?
It definitely doesn't get easier, that's for sure, especially with that lack of sleep that we've just spoke about there. But listen, enjoyable as ever. New manager, like I said, with a lot of new ideas, some new faces in the building, like every club in Scotland probably going into the season with a lot of aspirations and a lot of excitement. I think you especially have seen a bit of Motherwell in pre-season. I think we're going to provide a brand of football that will be exciting for a lot of people.
It's different.
Certainly different. There'll be a few heart and mouth moments, I'm sure. But listen, exciting for the brand of Scottish football. And I must say, you look across the board in Scotland, I just think there's so much to be excited about. A lot of teams with new managers, new ideas, new styles, and a lot of, not only new signs, but a lot of impressive signings as well, I must say.
Yeah, looking forward to it again, Gordon. I quite like that Premier Sports Cup group thing. It gets people bedded back into the football as well. We've already seen Rangers and Hibs and Dundee United. Decent results for the three of them in Europe in the first legs. We've got those second legs to get through before we start the league stuff at the weekend. And what a weekend it's going to be. Six games spread over 3 days. It seems a bit bizarre that in the first Saturday of the season there's only 1 3 o'clock kickoff in the Premiership. But I think once we get into it, it will be terrific.
I'm loving the Monday night football though. I'm loving it. I'm hoping that's a feature throughout the season.
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know.
Oh, I'd love that.
Asking the wrong guy.
I'm looking forward to my Monday night already, straight after the show,
just to get it stuck into the new season.
And I think it's a really big game. I think there's a lot of eyes on the two clubs this season. Aberdeen off the back of the Scottish Cup win, Hearts obviously with Dennis McInnes at the helm, and a few new signings, shall we say, from Jamestown Analytics.
What do you do if Motherwell play in the Monday night slot? Do you just leave here after beat the pundit?
That's a good shout.
7:10, straight out to Fir Park.
I might only need to turn up with 20 minutes to go at this rate, so
I'm glad you said that. I could be alright. I've been watching one with interest at how last season's Players Player of the Year has been treated during pre-season. We will see. Roger Hanna, watch this space. I've actually got a couple of nice surprises for you two. Beat the pundit time, so we can get to that at 7 o'clock.
I hope one of them's Tony Orlando. I've waited 9 weeks for this.
What, as in a guest appearance?
that would be good.
It would be quite something. 01419511025. So come on, if you want to get stuck into today's news in terms of transfer rumour and speculation, what you're making of it, are the names floating your boat, is your team doing enough, is it not doing enough, you want to reflect on pre-season, let's do that as well. You could just educate those of us who've been away for 9 weeks. What have we missed? What's been going on? Where are you at going into the new season? If you can't get excited about weeks like this building up to the start of it all, this game is wasted on you. So let's get stuck straight in. Same number as before. Barry is on the line. How are you, Barry?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
All good, Barry. What is on your mind?
Basically, I feel as if I woke up 1990s, early 1990s Celtic with this transfer window. It's been absolutely abhorrent. Honest to God, it is like driving with the handbrake on with a Celtic board. I don't know. I've seen Brendan Rodgers saying he's not going to follow it with himself. He's going to try his best to work with what he's got. But I generally don't know how the guy can hold it together. The way in which we handle business and transfers is so backward. I get that we're spreadsheet, champions that, you know, we make this profit, that profit. But come on, we've lost Kuhn, we've lost Kyogo. Two big players have not been replaced. You can say Shin Yamada might come in, but for me, his numbers weren't great last year. I was expecting somebody to be a bit more of a pedigree, especially if you're serious about going into the Champions League. Defence still hasn't been sorted out yet. I think we're top heavy with central midfielders. We're very thin in wingers. I really just don't see where it's all going to come together.
Well, I did say before Barry came on that everybody should be excited about the start of the new season. Maybe didn't take into account how much that can vary from club to club. Barry doesn't sound excited.
No, listen, we've had a few calls in the last couple of weeks like Barry, and You know something, Barney? Normally, there's 5 weeks in this window to go. Normally, I would sit here and say to you, come on, a wee bit of patience and everything will be fine. I actually thought Celtic would move quicker this summer for a number of reasons. Number one, I thought they get caught a wee bit at the end of the last window. They signed Engels, Ida and Trusty. And I think the feeling was they probably paid a wee bit too much for the three of them simply because it got to the end of the window and they had to spend the money to get the players in the door. I didn't think they would want to be caught in that predicament again. I also thought they would spend because the Nicholas Kuhn money came in, £17 million. You take it in isolation, a wonderful piece of business from Celtic for a guy who was bought for £3 million. And the third reason I thought they would move earlier was because the manager is clearly frustrated at the lack of activity so far and the manager's got 1 year left in his deal. If you were trying to push the boat out to persuade the manager to extend his time at the football club, then now's the summer to get the business done early.
Yeah, I've got to agree. No, you look at it in the face of it, Celtic have made 6 signings, but I mean, Kieran Tierney we already knew was in the door in January. You look at Ross Doohan, who's pretty much a training goalkeeper, third choice goalkeeper. The boy Osman for Fulham looks as if he's also a kind of a development player for the future, shall we say. Brendan Rodgers' comments about Inamura seems as if that was the same, a development player for the future. So you look at only really Yamada and Nygren as two players that are going to make an immediate impact, shall we say. And you just feel as if at the moment in time it leaves Celtic a wee bit short, especially in the areas that Barry had already mentioned. You think you feel there was going to be a real strong pursuit for a number 9, a couple in the wider areas. You know, that left back slot, if Kieran Tierney obviously continues the injury issues he's had over the year, and that sort of left centre half spot, because there was a lot of people frustrated by either Liam Scales or Austin Trusting, whoever would partner Cameron Carter-Vickers. But the reason it's so surprising to me is, you know, Roger mentioned the amount of clubs with new managers. Celtic haven't had to deal with that. You know, that everyone's all been in place. You felt as if the wheels would already be in motion towards the end of last season. But this moment in time, it all seems very slow for Celtic Park.
I mean, Barry, Roger and Andy alluded to it last season. Well, there's a lot of money spent this time last year, and we were getting similar calls up to a point, but Arne Engels, Adam Ida, Austin Trusty, whatever that amounts to, £26 million. So it's not like, I think you referred to, you know, a period in time where there was always an accusation that Celtic didn't spend. Why do you think it's slower this time? Have you any faith that by the end of the window you'll be feeling different?
Listen, last time round Celtic were guaranteed Champions League football as well. So we didn't have to go through a qualifier. You want the squad to be settled before any kind of qualifier. You've also got the Frimpong money as well that's came in. It looks like you're going to get money for Juranovic as well, who's been like linked to Fulham and stuff. So going forward, I honestly, this Celtic board, they're so transparent. We're not seeing anything at all. You feel as if the amount of emails I get about Celtic merchandise, I'm nearly £900 for a season ticket now. And I just feel as if the fans are pulling one way and this board's pulling another, and the fans just get taken for a ride. They don't get told anything. I feel as if Brendan Rodgers constantly apologising for this board. I mean, there's nothing to hold on to. I thought towards the end of last season as well, I thought we were getting... I thought the squad was getting thin and we were getting slow in certain areas. I think we needed to, obviously, Jota getting injured is a big minus for us, but no, I'm really not looking forward to this.
Will you feel better on Sunday, Barry, if you go to the game and Tierney, Nygren and Yamada all start and all show up well? Will you feel a bit more comfortable about the season?
I wouldn't say so, no, because it's a huge season going ahead. It's a huge season going ahead. We don't have a paired centre back for Carter Vickers. As I say, we don't have an established pedigree number 9 up front going into a Champions League. I don't see where we can get excited about this. Is
it's not the only way of looking at it, Roger, but sometimes I think the most basic one, because it applies to every club at any level, is do you come out of a transfer window stronger than you went in? You know, is your squad stronger than it was last season? A very basic way of looking at it. Where are Celtic in that regard?
Even not so much this window. If you look where they were at the start of January, they had Kyogo, Maeda, Ida, Kuhn, and a fully fit Jota when he came back to the club in January. So in the front areas, they do look weaker than before. If Nygren is included as a midfielder, then maybe, you know, you could say that they've done a bit better in there. They're still a left back short. They're still, for
then,
me,
but then, the one they've brought in terms of starting 11, and Greg Taylor did a tremendous job. But yeah, I think most people would accept that they might feel like the defence has been
100%
bolstered.
As Andy says, I still think they need to decide who's going to be the partner for Carter Vickers now. They might decide Austin Trusty's at a year in the place now. He's had a good pre-season. This is now the time for Austin Trusty to be pushed forward, rather than going out and trying to buy another £6 million centre-half. We don't know. What we do know is those three players at £26 million kicking off Flag Day against St Mirren on Sunday afternoon, I don't think any of the three of them are certain to start.
I think at this moment in time, it's, for me, it's perceived and looks to be weaker, but a lot of that is down to the unknown of what Yamada's going to be like, what Inamura's going to be like. I think Nygren seems as if he's going to be a decent profile signing that's going to come in and make an instant impact. Obviously, Kieran Tierney, we all know his capabilities, and he's clearly an upgrade in the position that they had. But I think if you take into account, obviously, losing Kyogo in January, you never felt as if Celtic replaced him in January. There was a lot of rumours about, I think it was a boy Kvistgaarden for Bromby. He then fancied Celtic to then follow up that interest in the summer. He then signs for Norwich. Obviously, Nicholas Coon now leaving for £17 million. Jota being out for 9 months. So I think you have to say at this moment in time they are weaker, but a lot of that is down to the unknown. The Nygren one surprised me, if he is a midfielder, because that is the one area that you feel it's not really a priority position for Celtic. But it's, you know, it seems as if he can kind of play anywhere across the front.
Is that what, you know, Barry's point? Barry said the spreadsheet champions. That was, you know, Barry's words. Is that where, for fans, I guess you're always trying to balance that up in your head, Roger, because that is good. So you take Nicholas Coon, yeah, that's exactly how it's supposed to work. That's exactly how the model's supposed to work. But as a fan, that's only really satisfactory if then the next one comes and replaces that and is as good.
I don't think anyone's arguing with the Nicholas Coon deal. I don't think there's anybody at all out there so far to say that, oh no, Celtic shouldn't have sold him. I think everyone's in agreement it was a great deal for Celtic. But you need to reinvest. As you said, Gordon, you do need to make sure that the collective, the squad, is stronger coming out of a window than it was going into a window.
Barry's point on timing, though, because, again, there is not a team involved in the Champions League qualifiers. Yeah. There isn't one who wouldn't prefer to have everybody in place. But inevitably, once other squads know what they look like and once the bigger clubs start selling the bigger players and then there's a drip-down effect, which maybe affects Scotland, it maybe just isn't possible.
Yeah.
Is there a degree of patience? How different do you think this looks in a month's time, or does it not?
Oh, it definitely does look different. And I've said before in the show, you know, football supporters and football journalists are the same. They're the two most impatient groups of people in the world. They want every deal done yesterday. It's understandable for fans. They want to see more faces in ASAP, and it will be at the back. You know, it's clearly at the back of Barry's mind and at the back of the minds of other Celtic fans. They do have a playoff round in this Champions League this season. They do have an obstacle to get over, to get back into that group stage football again. And they want the squad to be as strong and as settled as it possibly can be ahead of those playoff games.
If 10 is super excited, Barry, what number are you building up to the new season?
I don't know. Probably 5.
I thought we were going to be back first Monday. I thought everyone was going to have that spring in their step, that optimism. Now I feel like I'm back, you know, 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
Brought back down to earth, which is fine. Listen, that's what we're here for. Thank you to Barry on 01419511025. It's the perfect time to call. We'll get you on next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, the 2-hour Clyde One Super Scoreboard is back for the new season as we build up to the return of the Premiership this weekend. Plenty to get through before then. So let's get stuck straight back in. Reflect on all of the summer's talking points. Look at the transfer rumour and speculation. Ask you what you learned from your team in pre-season, if anything. And of course, the League Cup group stages come to an end as well. It's the same number for the new season, 01419511025. As always, you can tweet at Clyde SSB, send us a message, let us know what is on your mind there. People sending messages in all over the place. Want to mention Theo, how's this for driving through France, heading to Spain, but still listening to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the way. The wonders brilliant. Of Is that like when Hugh Keevans listens in his caravan in Anstruther?
Yeah.
Is that a bit like that?
Yeah.
How has he been? I've missed him terribly.
Well, you do know he had a small tumble.
I heard about this. At least that's what he's telling us.
He's bounced back. He's bounced back with typical resilience.
Good on him.
Is all I can say. Mm-hmm. And he's ready for season number 136.
I'm looking forward to seeing
with
him.
No loss of enthusiasm.
Oh, I'll bet. Predictions as strong as ever.
Predictions
do you think,
as
for the new
strong
campaign?
As ever.
1-40 on them.
Yeah. It did occur to me over the summer, I feel like it maybe grows. It maybe because, you know, you guys are very popular and a lot of people are listening, and now you can watch on the social media and all that sort of stuff. It did occur to me more this summer than ever that you just can't really shake Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
No.
And it's not to say I'm not grateful, because of course you would rather people were listening or engaging, but see the number of people over the summer who just say, "Where's Gordon DL?" And I say, "I don't know. I'm not attached. I certainly would never want to be attached to him all summer."
No.
That's how people tend to start their conversation. Mm-hmm. They want to know where he is.
Mm-hmm.
I was ordering a
That's the story of Gordon DL's life. Well, people want to know where he is.
I was ordering a toasty over the summer, just trying to mind my own business, and someone goes, "What kind of toasty did you get?" "A Gordon DL special." So it's the creative ways that they'll try and work Super Scoreboard in, and it made me miss you also, as it's good to be back.
It's lovely to have you back, Gordon.
Yeah. He's definitely hit a new level of superstardom, that man.
Think so.
Oh, definitely.
I feel like he's been lying low over the summer.
I think everyone's very intrigued to see who his partner will be this year.
Oh, on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I wouldn't
dare
get into that.
Road, right. Oh, well, listen, who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know either.
No.
I genuinely don't.
You do know?
I don't.
I know.
Well, it's news to me. See, he's obviously making the big decisions now.
Sits in this seat
twice over the summer and gets carried away with himself.
Listen, ladies and gents, you'll only need to wait 24 hours to find out.
Ah, but he never had a permanent partner on a Tuesday last season anyway.
That's true.
Whatever happened to that Mark Wilson guy? James,
no idea.
Is in Bayliston. How are you, James?
Good evening, guys.
What are you thinking, James?
I'm doing Roger.
Hey, James.
Two or so back, guys. Rangers fan. Obviously, big changes at the club. New owners, new manager, and a number of new players so far. So I think this time, at the beginning of the season, is a time for optimism for fans of every club. But certainly as a Rangers supporter, I think it's an exciting time. We needed new ownership. We obviously needed a new manager, and we needed new players. And I think that will continue. I think although we've brought in 6 or 7, I would imagine there'll be another 4 or 5. I think what is important is we need some guys going the other way. And I know Ross McCausland's been linked with Aris Limassol tonight on loan, but I think there's some big earners at the club. Mabi Matondo being a particular one, Ben Davis, Bidvan Yilmaz. They're three guys that must be on a real chunk of £60,000-£70,000 a week between them. The squad is quite bloated just now. I'm not concerned at this point, because I think there will be a lot of work going on behind the scenes. You know, you look back to last year when we kind of effectively gave away Connor Goldson, Sam Lammers, and you know, a couple of other guys for the princely sum of £800,000. And I think the time that it took for Robin Proper's deal to go through back to 20, I think indicates to me the American owners won't be a soft touch, if you like. I think they'll be stubborn and they'll be tough negotiators. And I think that's positive for the club. I think we have to have that. We've had too many occasions where we've gave guys away, or we've paid guys off to a certain extent. And so I'm really positive about the new season. I think the new owners so far, from the limited media that they give, I think are. I'm really positive about the whole scenario and looking forward to New Zealand.
I think that positivity and optimism, Andy, do you think that is widespread to look at everything through a sort of super scoreboard lens for a second when we last were together, the three of us, 9 weeks ago, before the summer break, Rangers had come off the back of a disappointing domestic season. The talk about Russell Martin wasn't really lighting everyone's fire. You know, it seemed certainly a split. You can argue about how much. But across the summer, it does feel like there is that feeling from James and fellow Rangers fans. Is that the case for you, and where does that come from?
I think it comes from change, because there's been years of a disillusion. Obviously, change within the board, within the structure of the club, obviously within the management helm, and then obviously with players as well. So I can't really disagree with a lot that James was saying. I don't know, I think that's, if you include Oscar Cortez, I think that's 8 new signings Rangers have made. But still, looking at the lineup that was present against Panathinaikos, you just feel they're still very, very short in certain areas of the pitch. Now, what's actually probably more important at this moment in time is getting bodies out the door, because I've seen a picture of the match day programme against Middlesbrough, and I don't know how they've managed to fit all their names in such a such a small bit of paper, because that was like 33, 34, 35 names on it. And you've got to say, with all due respect, there's probably 8, 9, 10 that you can consider deadwood in terms of what Russell Martin sees in his plans at Rangers. So I just think there's so much work still to be done. I think we've got 5 weeks from now to the end of the window, and I'm sure Rangers will be spending every minute within it trying to do business both ways.
Yeah, I mean, you said 4 or 5 more, James. I think there might be an excess of that. I think there may be more. If you mentioned there, Ben Davis, Ridvan Yilmaz, Proper's gone, McCausland's going, Cifuentes, Matondo, Leon King. If they can get those guys out, I think there'll be another half dozen, maybe more, coming back in. The real fascination for me, though, will be, is there a, what you might describe, a bigger hitter in among the departures? You know, could Eggerman go to fund the next round of incoming transfers? Could Dessers go for a sum? Could John Souter go ahead of the last year of his contract? Did you say the Americans don't strike as people who let people run their contracts down and walk out for nothing? So I think, you know, they'll either get players secured on contract extensions, or they'll look to sell them. I think there'll be an awful lot of work still to do between now and the window closing.
How far does this excitement stretch, James? Is it cautious optimism? Are you willing to abandon it all and think there's a treble incoming, to try and sort of sum it up as to how optimistic you are for the new season?
I think cautious optimism, Gordon's exactly the tone. Celtic won the league still comfortably last season. I know that the Celtic fan that was on previously appeared to be quite worried about the lack of business at Celtic. And I think that's been quite evident in social media. There's been a number of the Celtic support of the same view. There's still 5 weeks to go in the window. That's the first thing. But in terms of Rangers, yeah, cautious optimism. I would agree with what Roger and Andy said there. There has to be guys going out the door. As I said, there are some big earners, which is going to make it more difficult. I mean, it singles somebody out, but Rabbi Matondo, for example, again, who reputedly is on the high 20s wage-wise per week, hasn't really shown much in his time at Rangers. That's going to be a hard sell. I suspect he might be one that goes out on loan, possibly, to start with. Ben Davis is very, very similar. He was down at Birmingham last season, done pretty well with Kieran Dowell. I think they brought another centre-half in at the weekend, so whether that muddies the waters there. But I think, yeah, I get the feeling Igamani's a matter of time before he goes. There seems to be real interest from France. I know Feyenoord are interested as well. And Rangers are looking supposedly for the 15 million, plus add-ons. It feels like a matter of time before he goes. And they've been linked with an Israeli striker for a number of weeks as well, which that rumour hasn't went away. So there is still plenty of business to do both ways, but cautiously optimistic. And I don't think we should underestimate the result against Panathinaikos last week. They're a decent side. And, you know, with the new players that we brought in, we had Max Ahrens playing out of position at left back as well. We didn't have a great first half, but I thought second half, we got the goal and then they went down to 10 men. And I'm confident that we'll score over in Athens. I think we'll get through that tie. On paper, a favourable tie against Servette Pilsen that could have been a lot worse. I'm cautiously optimistic, really looking forward to the season. And we're linked to a number of wingers this week alone. I think there's been about 3 or 4 wingers. You've got the lad from Tottenham, the boys from Palace, and I think last night the lad from Go Ahead Eagles Antman, the Finnish guy. So loads of rumours going about, as you would expect, but there seems to be a substance to a fair number of them. And yeah, cautious optimism. We have to, as a club, beat Celtic. Wasn't the problem last season, as you will all know. The problem was beating everyone else consistently. And without sounding a touch arrogant, that has to be a given at Rangers. Rangers have to be going to Turf Park on Saturday, sorry Andy, and putting a marker down for the season. So very much hoping that happens, and yeah, just really looking forward to the season starting.
Yeah, I think Rangers and Russell Martin have clearly looked at the squad, looked at the makeup in the squad, and how, you know, Russell Martin can put his imprint with on that, and seen that, that, you know, certain profiles that they want, they're identifying, they're trying to sign. I've been champing on about Rangers for years on end about the lack of wingers that they've had within the club, especially in that right wing slot. And last year they finally found one in Vaclav Chernyi that was only on loan for a season, but then they never really got the same product for whoever was on the left hand side last year. So I think now, obviously seeing that already Gassama coming in the door in such a short, obviously, space of time, really, really looking like a promising signing, and then seeing the Mikey Moore being linked to, looks as if he's going to be the next one in the door. Oliver Antman, Rakitić at Crystal Palace. It's clearly an area that Russell Martin feels if Rangers can strengthen. But quite rightly, as you've said, Dan Rogers says, there's still so many more areas where they do look that little bit short just now. Connor Cody's a name that's not went away. You know, whether Dessers and Igaman do eventually leave, clearly number nine is going to be a priority position. I just think there's going to be so much more. I think it's going to be so much more business that will be done at Rangers.
I'm a big fan of pronouncing it Ant-Man, like a terrible superhero, yeah, as well. I that's definitely going to stick
as
here,
as a tabloid journalist. I cannot begin to tell you how excited I am at the prospect of somebody called Ant-Man coming in to play for Rangers.
James,
it's
thank you.
Fabulous.
Thank you to James. What about Martin? How are you feeling, Martin?
Again, I think the same as the last call. I'm cautiously optimistic, but at the same time, I'm worried about the return leg against Panathinaikos. System that we're playing just now, as much as it's high press, aggressive, and looks good on the eye in certain flashes, it leaves us very exposed at the back. I think Middlesbrough had a couple of long punts up the park and completely opened us up. I think we've got a cover, maybe one of the best, I can't remember who it was, but it worries me in those return legs, because Russell Martin's not known for changing his system, going for a plan B, maybe holding out that lead that we have. I feel that he's still going to be full throttle. Like Ange Postecoglou, I suppose, it's just like there's no change in it. It's his way or no way. And I think that may be our downfall. I'm optimistic. I hope we get through. But there's a part of me that wants him just to shut up shop for the return leg and just get through this tie. And I feel he won't. And I believe we may be exposed at the back.
I mean, Andy, that is the beauty of these qualifiers, where it does provide a different challenge to certain managers. Russell Martin won't have done this loads. He'll also have come in. That's less of an issue, by the way, but I just mean it being a new challenge. But he'll also have come in and wanted to play a real certain way, as Martin says, and you spend all summer putting it in place. Can that quickly be flipped to maybe having to protect a 2-0 lead in a two-legged tie, or do you just sort of carry on?
I think it can. Of course, it can be tweaked. You can be a little bit more pragmatic, especially when you're going away from home in a really difficult venue in the heat, and try and hold on to what you've got. But I don't think he will. I don't think it's in Russell Martin's makeup. You talked about the appointment of Russell Martin being a split opinion. You remember at the world's end of the season, he's who I thought Rangers should have went for. And I actually said at the time, I think Rangers will suffer initially in Europe, but I think they'll immediately get better domestically just because of that identity, that style of play. So then when I seen the draw was Panathinaikos, I thought it was a really, really tough hurdle for Rangers and Russell Martin at this point in time of the season, with such a huge turnover still to be made. But regardless of what the performance was, 2-0 was a fantastic result to take over to Greece. But I've played there myself. It is a really difficult place to go. It's a really tough venue to play in. The fans are extremely passionate, just like obviously we have here. And again, I mentioned the heat. So I don't think that tie is far from over at all. But you just feel, with because of the split opinions towards Russell Martin, it almost feels as if it's a result that he has to win. And I know that's crazy to say. I don't think it has a bearing on, no, Rangers' whole season, but I just think with so many doubters, his appointment at the start, I think it's a massive tie for Russell Martin on Wednesday.
Well, we'll find out building up to that game as the week progresses as well. Thank you very much to Martin on the line. Let me tell you about this before we go on.
Clyde One.
Yes, Make Me a Winner is here, ready to give you the chance to win a ton of cash. And did you know you can even enter if you're away on holiday? All you need is your phone. It's that simple. So if you get the call, we'll should buy the pool. Imagine that. Your holiday spends will increase by £545,000. Imagine you're an all-inclusive though at that point. You don't quite know what to do with it for the next 10 days. You'd find a way though, wouldn't you?
No, I'm sure.
Anyway, get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. If you'd rather one entry, text YES to 61025. The texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Online entry and rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. Lines close 5pm Friday. It's £545,000. Go to makemeawinner.co.uk.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here, and they're not 10 minutes away from finishing up either. We're back until 8 o'clock as we build up to the Scottish Premiership season. The phone lines are as busy as ever, but stay with us and give us a shout. 01419511025. What a time this would be to maybe pick up the phone for the first time as well. Maybe this could be your season. Maybe we've never spoken before. Why not start as we mean to go on, and let us know how you're feeling about your team as we build up to the league starting. Fans of all teams out there, because there's been a heck of a lot of change. So many new managers, not only in the top flight, the championship, players coming and going. With the social media age and everything constantly on the go, it feels like the summers just get busier and busier and busier. So I know for a fact, if you're a fan of any team, you've got something on your mind, good or bad. Do give us a shout, please, on the usual number or on Twitter at ClydeSSB. James is next up. He's a Celtic fan. How are you, James?
Good evening, guys.
Hi, James.
Good evening,
James.
Andy.
Hello.
I've got a wee point. We've got the most cash since Celtic was formed in 1888. We must have 75 million plus in the bank now without the Champions League money, should they get through, or the sale of season tickets. We've got a game coming up worth £35 million, a one-off £35 million to get into the Champions League. My thoughts are, if we get through, the board will give Brendan a wee bit of money. And if they don't get through, they'll hardly spend anything. And you're saying to yourself, where's this cash all going that we've got? We are cash rich. Surely we can do better than what we've got. Now, the three boys that have come in, the two Japanese boys and the guy from Sweden, actually look quite good. The big Swedish guy looks like if he knows what he's doing. He's a good tackler, see a ball, he's a good header of the ball, he's a good passer. So we might have won a wee watch here. But the point is, surely we can buy better players. Have we got to sit back and wait in one game to find out if we're going to spend cash? Just your thoughts, lads.
What do you think, Roger? Because James has set it up quite nicely there, where understandably, if a club has, in fact, the Champions League's worth more than that these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Give me the figure,
yeah.
Whatever it is.
Loads.
Tens of millions. If a club really doesn't know if they have that amount of money or they don't, it might impact their financial plans. But are Celtic now at a stage with their cash in the bank that it shouldn't be that delicate? Or is it still inevitable because players might want to know what competition they're playing in? How does that impact it?
And listen, you touched on it earlier on. They might be waiting to see what other clubs do with some of the players that Celtic would like to sign. Celtic and Rangers have their place in sort of football's food chain, if you like. They're maybe waiting on guys who might be deemed fringe players in bigger leagues becoming available that they want to add to the squad. A lot of things can impact on it. James is about to Barry, the first caller. There's a real frustration and impatience there. You get the impression every time you hear Brendan Rodgers, there's a growing frustration with the Celtic manager as well. There is a lot of money there. There's a lot of money sitting in those accounts. But maybe that means when Celtic go and inquire about players, other clubs know that Celtic have a lot of money lying in the accounts and try and hike up the price, and Celtic aren't always willing to pay that price. They will need to bring players in, though, Gordon. They will need to bring players in the next 5 weeks, and I think it would be risky for them to get to the last two or three days of the window as well, still requiring two or three players, because they'll find this a repeat of last season where they arguably have to pay over the odds to get the players in.
But then that's the point. If that's the case, then they did spend big last summer, and they by Scottish football standards, that was a big outlay. So this sort of recurring theme that they don't spend enough, I feel like that was sort of undeniably not true last summer. You can definitely argue whether you got value for that. So it'd be interesting to see what the approach is in the next month or so.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, last season a lot of the frustration for Celtic fans was they feel as if they just had to spend in that little bit of a higher bracket to improve that wee bit in the Champions League. And you've got to say they did. In all fairness, they did. That being said, though, Celtic have this money in the bank because of obviously domestic success, getting into the Champions League, but also because they bought a lot of players low and sold them for high. Nicholas Kuhn be another example, coming in for £2.5 million, selling for 17. So it's not so much, I said I've been surprised by the lack of transfer activity for Celtic, not so much the lack of transfer spend. It's I think Celtic have always been a club that, you know, try to obviously follow this player trading model and buy players for a certain amount of price that they feel that they can progress and move on, and that's what they've done extremely well. You know, I've seen they've been linked with 2-3 players over the last couple of weeks. The boy Jakob Broom for Go Ahead Eagles been one that they seem as if they're arguing over £1.5 million. They're the kind of ones where you feel at Celtic at this moment in time, getting ready for that playoff game, get him in the door if you want him, he's the one you want. But like you quite rightly said, they then, you know, spend that sort of that next bracket of budget and players in the likes of Arne Engels, Adam Ida and Austin Trusty last season. And you know, I don't think it's three players that Celtic have absolutely loved last season. I think they've done well in their own rights, but it's been more the Hatatis, the O'Reillys, the Kyogos, the Nicholas Kuhns. But it's obviously just all about Celtic finding the next one.
I think that is the difficult balance the club has, James, because these, as Andy says, the 2 and 3 million ones, of course they've not all worked, but a lot of the big successes have been in that sort of market.
Well, I would like to ask the boys this very simple question. If the three centre-halves grew injured, that's Carter Vickers, Scales, Trusty grew injured next week, who have you got to replace him? Stephen Welsh?
Well, Stephen Welsh is injured already, isn't he? He's out. There'll need to be a centre-half bought, I think, James. You know, Navrotsky's gone, Lager Bielka is gone, Stephen Welsh is injured. The three you mentioned, there's only really Dane Murray is covered, so there'll only be a centre half comes in. There'll need to be another left back comes in. I think I'm not sure Celtic will go into the season just with Kieran Tierney and Inamura in that area of the pitch. Wouldn't be surprised if it was a two more wingers coming in, and I've not seen enough of Shin Yamada to say he's going to be the next Kyogo or he's not going to be the next Kyogo. So it really wouldn't surprise me if there's a striker that comes in as well.
I think if any club in the world's three centre-halves get injured, you're bagging trouble.
Is it not more of a debate? Everyone can have a debate about whether you like those players and whether you think they're at a level that takes you on. But hypothetical about three defenders at once being injured, probably not the best way to judge it, is it?
No, I don't think so. But listen, I think the argument is that I remember, again, we had the chat towards the end of the season. You know, Celtic had already won the league, and Celtic fans were already thinking, where can we still improve going into next season? And I think a lot of people did feel that left centre half, that partnership for Cameron Carter-Vickers. Now, it doesn't seem like they've found that man yet. By all accounts, it seems as if the boy Inamura's played at left back. Do they see him playing as a left centre half? I'm not too sure, but I do think that's an area that Celtic will try and recruit over the next few weeks.
James, so where are you then? Excitement levels at this point for the new season?
I'm more concerned about the Champions League game. That gets you onto the TV cash, as the games are shown throughout Europe. I don't want to know getting into it, but it's the thought of all this cash is sitting there, and it's a gamble you've got to take. No matter who you buy, be it 1 million or 10 million, might work out. Look forward to Saturday, but always look at other things and say, what if? It's not the first time that we've played Champions League games with any centre-halves. Unbelievable. We seem to have something goes wrong 2 or 3 weeks before the ties happen, and 2 or 3 of our best players get taken up by an ankle injury or a neck injury or something, and they seem to skip again. This one's important. It keeps an interest for the rest of the season, especially after watching it the previous season with the 8 ties, which was fantastic to watch.
It's a fair point, actually, James makes, because that last bit of the season is the bit you remember. Celtic lost the cup final, in case anyone's forgotten. Yeah. It turned what most people sort of thought would be a treble into not that. but that was a bit of a breakthrough season for Celtic in terms of what they did in Europe.
Yeah.
They still had a strong season domestically. Yes, they couldn't do it. They've reached the bar that they've been setting in recent seasons by hitting trebles. But it feels like just, you're not getting that sense of optimism from James. And
no,
he's
definitely not.
Fans.
And you know, just come back. Think how close Celtic pushed Bayern Munich. You know, when they got them beyond the group stage of the Champions League, and they want to do better or do as well this incoming season. I think the likes of James and Barry worry that the squad isn't sufficiently strong, and that's before the unspeakable. What happens if somebody bids for Hitati or Maeda?
Thank you very much to James. It brings us up nicely. I've been looking forward to this all summer. It does not matter how good your holiday is, how whatever you've been up to, what wonderful family time you managed to share. Nothing beats this at 7 o'clock.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Well, my family aren't listening, incidentally, but it's your chance to take on Andy Halliday or Roger Hanna, two of the top dogs season in, season out at Beat the Pundit. I've got a few surprises for them when we return, but we do need you as ever. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. The lines close at 7 and Beat the Pundit is next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you've been in the habit all summer of getting your football fix up to this point and then turning off and going on about your business and watching evening TV, well, fear not, because we're back in our 2-hour format from now until the end of May. There you go. We're consistent, if nothing else.
Yep.
Monday to Friday, Saturday and Sunday, I hear.
7 days a week. Incredible. Tell me, yeah.
Incredible.
Big changes.
No one asked me. Well, but anyway, a great idea, I'm sure. The more, the merrier.
Is it 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock? Phone in every Sunday. Andrew McLean, a couple of pundits. What else would you do?
Scottish football delivers, but 6 until 8, midweek, we're back and we're looking forward to the new season. But we need you, as always, the main part of what we do here. So give us a call right now on 0141 951 1025. If you are just joining us for some unforgivable reason, we've basically been gently easing ourselves in, looking forward to the new season, having a look at the excitement levels, what the signings look like at the moment, the transfer rumour mill, so you can keep going on that. There's a few names doing the rounds today. We've not had a lot of excitement from Celtic fans so far. Rangers fans maybe a bit more optimistic after a summer of change. Is that the way it should be? Or do you want to flip that on its head in the second hour? Give us a call. What about the League Cup group stages? Were you out and about at the games? What did you learn? How much are you looking forward to the knockout stages? And that's pre-season done, isn't it? The line is drawn under it. So what have you learned so far? What are you looking forward to? Fans of all teams, give us a call. And whilst you do that, we'll do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Ah, Beat the Pundit time. Now it really feels like we're back. I know you had your summer league going on through the season, but that's just a bit like the, you know, the Club World Cup or the Adidas Trophy or the Emirates Cup or whatever they used to play for. This is like, this is the real stuff. This is the stuff that goes on the record, goes on the CV. You're judged for when you walk down the street, when you go into the office, when you go into your dressing room. This is where it properly matters. Are you feeling okay about the new season?
I'm a wee bit nervous, to be honest with you. I just think it's always good to get that first one under the belt, and we've been away, like you said, 9 weeks away, and we've been quite up to date as we normally would be. But
how's your summer league form been?
It's been okay.
Good.
It's been okay.
Right, okay. I've actually,
it's all different. This is the whole new thing. Different people asking questions and totally different.
And
it's like pre-season compared to the first day.
The pressure of having another pundit. So you're like playing in front of big crowds rather than, you know, the friendly action.
100%.
There are two big changes to Beat the Pundit for you two this season, and I'm really looking for, I don't know which one to deliver first, because I'm hugely excited about both of these. So first of all, Roger Hanna, you spent the full season on -2 last season. How do you think it went?
Okay.
Many times did you lose?
Not sure.
A few.
Oh, yeah.
So not you were sort of, what were you in the playoff play, the European places? Yeah, you were not near the top of the tree. You were
maybe the Dundee United of the operation.
Right. Okay. Now, We've been negotiating this all summer, very against my wishes, I have to say, but I can announce tonight you will be restored to minus one.
I knew if I bullied producer John enough when you were
here. Somebody in here felt that minus two was just too harsh. It was a bit too gimmicky, a bit too hard, and just not getting through enough questions to be on minus two. Mm-hmm. So you've been restored to minus one. Are you happy about that?
I'm absolutely delighted, and I'm absolutely thrilled that I didn't tip his Falkirk team to get down.
However, Andy Halliday, you too will join him. Yay! On minus one.
Oh, that's better news.
You have won Beat the Pundit two seasons in a row. You've not lost, 100% record. You're the smartest kid in the class. It is about time we tried to bring you down a peg or two. Are you comfortable with that?
I think it's fair, but I think being on the same as Roger, I don't think it's all that fair. But I do think minus two is a wee bit too much, especially for 30 seconds.
Okay, so Monday, from now on, will be the minus one club. And I'm pleased to say the first member, the first paying member of the minus one club will be Robbie in Paisley. How's it going, Robbie?
Aye, brilliant, mate. Brilliant.
Have you ever played before?
No, I've not played before.
Brilliant. Quite good that, though, isn't it, Monday night? I mean, I know they're good, but they're both on minus one. Give you a chance.
I think I'd beat either of them anyway, yes. But...
Oh, I don't mind that at all.
That's what I like to hear.
Right, and do you know the second big change for the summer? This, honestly,
a new coin, I hope.
This has truly made my summer. This is like Christmas for me.
You've not got a Motherwell coin,
no,
have you?
Even better. Right, we have got a custom-made, purpose-built Beat the Pundit coin. Can I get the box open live on air? No, but here we are. I've got it. Take a look at that piece of beauty. So it's Super Scoreboard on one side, Beat the Pundit on the other. I tossed it a few times in the office just to check it out for size. It tosses brilliantly, let me tell you. Bit of weight to that. I'll let you touch it.
Is that the one that Daz had round his neck when he was in Tenerife in the summer?
I've got no idea. I don't want to think about him on holiday in the summer. But it's been sent in by the very kind folks at Zenith Coins, who say they are the UK's number one commemorative coin supplier. I wouldn't dare to question that.
No, you wouldn't.
Big fans of the show, and they have sent in this cost. Look at that.
That's lovely.
Give that a feel. Seriously.
That's lovely, that. It's like a ball marker. It's golf.
It weighs about a kilo.
Can I just tell Mr. Zenith, I now want one of these.
How good is that?
That's fabulous.
I think we should be in negotiations with Mr. Zenith to see if we can get them dished out to the
we all need
if
one.
They win. Seriously.
We all need
the
one.
The only thing I'm concerned about is I think that's heavy enough to shatter the back of my hand if my technique's not careful. Uh-huh. But anyway, the first person to get it
How do you decide what's heads and what's tails?
Yeah, that bit's kind of been blown out the water. So will we go...
But what's Super Scoreboard? What's Beat the Pundit?
He's Andy Halliday, isn't he? So we give him blue and you go red.
All right, okay.
So from now on,
I see what you mean.
The pundit nearest me will be blue for Beat the Pundit. The pundit furthest away will be on the red. I realise I'm doing this on the live stream. Forgive me if you're not watching on YouTube and you're just listening the old-fashioned way, but that's the way it will be. And for the first time this season, blue will be Andy Halliday, red Roger Hanna. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's see how it tosses.
Go.
I hope it's you.
Oh, listen, can I do that again just to see how nice that sounds?
It did.
That was Roger as well. Look,
there was a
listen,
ping. There
listen
was
carefully.
Oh, it's Minu. It's Minu. It's Minu. I knew it. Honestly, blue. I just done it. It was him.
For Andy Halliday.
Oh, I can't believe it.
You ready, Robbie?
Oh, I always.
Let's do it. Right, we'll give Andy Halliday something else to listen to. Some greatest hits radio. Robbie, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Sorted.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name either player who scored for Rangers on Saturday.
Ben McCartney.
Benjamin Nygren is what nationality?
Swedish.
Name any two teams that have won all four League Cup group stage games.
Kilmarnock.
Which vegetable is on Falkirk's shirt sponsor this season?
Pass.
Rocky the Rooster is the mascot of which Scottish team?
Pass.
Which shirt number is Shin Yamada?
12.
Who scored the 12th goal in Motherwell 6 Hibs 6 back in 2010?
Scott McDonald.
Okay, let's bring him back. Andy Halliday, can you hear us?
Yes.
So you did say genuinely, although you are the champion of Beat the Pundit for the last two seasons, I think 100% record, you've been put on minus one, you're not actually feeling confident.
I just think the first week's the hardest because
too much like baby care over the summer.
A wee bit of it.
Pre-season double sessions.
Once you're in the flow, you're watching all the games. You're in this. But listen, got to start somewhere.
Well, listen, if you're meant to be a student of the game over the summer, if I had the displeasure of watching you splash around in the rain at Ockle View a couple of Saturdays ago, you should be keeping up to speed to what's going on as well. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Name either player who scored for Rangers on Saturday.
Finlay Curtis.
Benjamin Nygren is what nationality?
Swedish.
Name any two teams that have won all four League Cup group stage games.
Partick and Alloa.
Which vegetable is on Falkirk's shirt sponsor this season?
Carrot.
Rocky the Rooster is the mascot of which Scottish team?
Pass.
Which shirt number is Shin Yamada?
14.
Who scored the 12th goal in Motherwell 6 Hibs 6 in 2010?
Lukas Jukovic.
What did Stephen Glass famously receive as his Man of the Match award in the 95 League Cup final?
A glass.
Okay.
That is the one of the toughest round of questions.
I'm disappointed in you in that one. I thought that was quite a well known thing in Scottish football. Clearly not. Robbie, how do you think it went?
He's beat his man.
I thought they were tough, no?
There's a couple of ones, yeah.
Okay. Right, let's go through them. Who scored for Rangers against Middlesbrough on Saturday? You had the choice of Danilo or Finlay Curtis, and you both went Finlay Curtis, so that's absolutely fine. We're up and running, 1-1, but Andy starts on minus one this season. So Robbie is... Robbie's in the lead by one. Benjamin Nygren is Swedish. You both got it. So again, Andy stays one behind. Name any two teams that won all four League Cup group stage games. You had the choice of Partick Thistle. He's done all right.
He's done terrific.
That Mark Wilson. Mm-hmm. He's done fine.
Done
better than fine.
Ross County as well.
I think we've rubbed off on him. I think that's what it is. I feel like we taught him everything he knew over the last few seasons.
He's obviously absorbed all the tips and advice he got for Gordon Dale over the years.
I wonder how often he's had him on the phone throughout the summer, just pointing him in the right direction. Partick Thistle, Alloa Hearts and St Johnstone. So Andy Halliday equalised there. That's his minus one wiped out, if you like. Which vegetable is on Falkirk's shirt sponsor this season? Was that a guess?
Yeah.
It is a carrot.
No way. Oh my God.
I am devastated.
I
know. I was going to ask what you said, but you didn't give. Honestly,
have you got a picture of that?
It's the crunchy carrots. Apparently, other vegetable manufacturers are available.
They're not vegetable related companies. Is there not an IT company? I think they're just called Crunchy Carrots.
So it is. You're right. Yeah, indeed. So I take that back. But the that is the guess. Is that your guess? Is that your go-to vegetable?
Onions. I like carrots as well, though. Carrots and onions, aye. But onions, aye. But I couldn't say onion.
I think you're not a guy. Anyway, yeah. Crunchy carrots, apparently. So there we go. Giving them a wee mention. Andy Halliday goes in front. Rocky the Rooster is Airdrie Onions.
That's terrible with mascots, man.
Shin Yamada is number 18. So there's a few chunks in the armour here. Andy Halliday's his cloak of invincibility seems to have wearing off, but he is still in front and he wrapped it up. I'm annoyed at this because this is a good piece of football trivia, but is he not a mate of yours, Lukas Jukovic? Did you not play with him somewhere at Middlesbrough, was it?
I did, yeah. Well, he was actually my best pal at Middlesbrough.
There you go.
I remember the goal, left foot volley for the best almost the touchline.
Best goal I've seen in person, I would say.
It was unreal.
I would say that.
Brilliant game.
Not just the significance of it. What a strike. But anyway, Andy Halliday gets it, stretches his lead. I can't take it away. I wish I could dock you points for this. I see where you've gone, but have you never seen...
So what is that?
It's a bike.
All right, okay.
Stephen Glass got a bike as his Man of the Match award in the 95 League Cup
you
final.
You got that.
But that was quite a common thing at the time, wasn't it?
Coca-Cola.
What's the other famous story that goes along with it?
In the quarterfinals...
You'll like this.
Ayr United lost to a Gaza-inspired Rangers at Ibrox, but Ayr's best performer of the night and the Man of the Match in the game was a guy called Paul Kinnaird. That was the manager of Ayr. And Paul Kinnaird got a bicycle from Coca-Cola. Sponsors of the Coca-Cola Cup. And before he got on the United team bus on Edmiston Drive, went outside and sold the bike for cash on Edmiston Drive and then got on the bus and went home.
He's not going to take a bike on the team bus,
all, right?
So there you go. It was a bike and I'm afraid it wasn't enough. Even though he got it wrong, Andy Halliday still wins it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We take off, he's won, but it wasn't enough for you. You did all right though.
Close one, they were tough.
It was fine, they were tough tonight. But thanks for playing. I appreciate your time.
I'm just hoping the new season goes well. I'm hoping Logan Clements comes through. Rangers, centre back.
Who, sorry?
Young Logan Clements, centre back. I've been watching him quite a bit for Rangers. Hoping to get some game time season.
I like that. I don't mind giving out somebody we mention. Is that a family member, a friend? What's the.
I've just been watching the youth team. Just hoping Russell Martin decides to play the youth a bit more. than the previous managers.
But look, to tie that all in, Andy, actually, you know, question one, beat the pundit, Finlay Curtis, teenager. Has there not been some sort of weird debate about his age? He is 19, isn't he? But Wikipedia had him as 18, apparently. Is that right?
Well, I don't know.
I picked this
18,
up over the summer.
Maybe
right, someone needs to clear this up, because I'm sure someone mentioned this to me at Ibrox the other night, where they're usually reliable for these things. Wikipedia had the wrong age. He's a teenager, right? We can agree on that. He's young, is the point. And he's come in, he's featured in pre-season, scored in pre-season, then scored the big one against Panathinaikos, came on almost as part of like the A team at the weekend. Andy, Rangers are toiling first half, they bring the A team on, which includes him, and he scores again. Robbie says he wants to see young players played this season, but fans of all teams want it, don't they? Yeah. It's just going to be really fascinating to see across the board what we get.
Well, one thing's for sure, he scored a lot of goals in the B team last season and the season before. But I think what's even more surprising, the fact is he started the first game in Russell Martin's stint as Rangers manager after obviously 8 new summer signings. So all credit to him. You know, you go back to a couple of interviews that Russell Martin's done over his time at the club so far, and he always mentions that he wants to see his team run, he wants to see his team outrun opponents. And when he was talking about Finlay Curtis, he says he's an athletic freak. So it seems as if his athleticism's really shone out in pre-season. There's no doubt that that's a big reason why he's found his selling the team. I think he was the only player to play 90 minutes against Club Brugge in the first pre-season friendly. Gets rewarded with a start against Panathinaikos. And what was as impressive as anything for me is, if I'm being honest, I actually thought he had a difficult first half. But the fact that he's then took that, bounced back in the second half, came up with the all-important first goal, and then got the right-back for Panathinaikos, who I thought was very impressive in the first half, sent off. So he's made a real significant impact in the game. And then he follows that up, well, be it a friendly, doesn't matter. When you get the jersey, you need to try and obviously perform and do your best. He obviously gets the goal back.
Probably Roger won for another night where we get really, you know, torn into it as the evening progresses. But I wonder what that theme will look like this season. Every club, every fan base wants to see young players play. The country needs it, the league needs it. But when the pressure bites, teams don't do it for whatever reason. And it's a debate we have year after year after year. But now, you know, the data's all tracked. Everyone's really looking at, you know, the stats and the minutes and the percentage. And Finlay Curtis will just be one example of this. As Andy says, it's been great to see him. How much do you see him? Once Antman comes, if he does, and Mickey Moore, if he comes, Mickey and Rucksacky, and that's then the same for every team.
Yeah, and listen, I just loved the story from Finlay Curtis after the game. He said Russell Martin named the team, or told him on the Monday night that he was going to play. He went home, he told his parents, they were in tears. He went to his bed, and a wee while later his mother came into his bedroom and told him to get to sleep because he was playing for Rangers the next day. I thought, you know, stories like that are absolutely terrific. Wait till you get Fraser Wishart on the show the weekend, Gordon, and ask him about the dearth of young Scottish players who are going to be playing for their clubs in the Premiership this weekend. But if you're Jim Goodwin, and people are pointing a finger at Jim Goodwin because he selected the first ever Dundee United team without a Scot in the starting 11, Jim Goodwin can say, I'm not here to sort the ills of Scottish football. I'm here to do the best for Dundee United and to keep me in a job. And if these guys keep me in a job and take Dundee United back into the top six and back into Europe, I'll have done my job properly.
Thank you for the first Beat the Pundit, I was going to say proper, of the new season. I just mean in terms of that's your summer league over, this is your official.
Feels good to get off the mark.
He's off the mark. He's up and running, even though he is on minus one this season. So thanks to Robbie and Paisley, it was not enough to beat Andy Haldane. Just in case you're going to be kept up by this revelation, so Finlay Curtis's Wikipedia now says he's 19. So I don't know how you get these online things fixed.
Phenomena.
But there we go. Because he was 18 last I checked, yeah? And he's not had his birthday in the last few days. He's now appearing as 19.
All I can think now, Andy, is which is going to be the first pundit to try and snaffle that coin?
Well, I don't think there's any
question. I guess. Especially when I said it looks like a golf marker.
Somebody's going to try and have that.
It's lovely, isn't it? I really hope it doesn't go missing from this studio. But anyway, there we go. 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you on right after these.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here, both still reeling from the revelation about the new Beat the Pundit coin.
It's wonderful.
That's been sent in for the new season. Thanks again to Zenith Coins.
And we just send sweet treats, the phone as well. The first night of the show, you two did.
I'm an athlete. I stayed away from those.
No, I never.
I wonder what the Motherwell sports scientist makes of Andy Haldy's yum yum consumption before we came on here. The sight of you attacking a strawberry tart with a wooden fork in there was enough to put me off my return to work as well, I have to say.
Wonderful. Didn't stand a chance.
It did not. Right, I've got a full-time teaser for you. Don't dwell on it because I want to crack on and get back to the phone calls, but you can digest it as we go. It's the sensible donkey that's on. So if you've forgotten or you're unused to the format or you've never listened before, what we do at this time in the show is you send the questions in to us and the pundits try and answer them. So you've got that bit of a that bragging rights, if you like, to think that you could come up with a question that might stump them. You email it over to fulltime@clyde1.com and we do our very best to use them on the show. So the sensible donkey says, can you name six Scottish Rangers players since 2000? They've made over 100 appearances but have never been capped by the national team. So six Scottish Rangers players since 2000, over 100 appearances but never capped by the national team. You can get back to me as I bring in Stevie, who's on the line. How are you, Stevie?
I'm fine. I'm like the other Celtic fan, James, I think his name was, earlier, in the level of disillusion. For years now, it's always been the same. When Peter Lowell's on the board, I think Peter Lowell does a fabulous job on the board regarding sponsorship and you know, these kind of deals and all that. But he can't play football manager. John McGinn, enough said. When he does try and play football manager,
did Hugh Keevans put you up to bringing that up? That's his favourite topic.
No. This is all the Celtic fans I speak to. I feel like this, right? And I'm just lucky enough to get through, right? His boy's not even good at it either, because his boy tried it. 20 players he brought in. I think Alistair Johnson's the only one that's made it, right? So here, what about this for an idea? Why doesn't Peter Lowell stick to it? He's really good at running the board, making Celtic officially the most best run football club in the UK, dealing with Adidas and Daffabet and all the rest of it, and let Brendan Rodgers do his job. And at the start of the season, just say, here's the budget, 30 million. There you go, Brendan. What you do with that is up to you. On your head be it, because it's your reputation, your job at the end of the day. There you go. You strengthen where you need to strengthen, blah, 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 blah. And if it doesn't work out, you've only got yourself to blame. But that will never happen because Peter Lowell's ego is too big.
How do you know that that is how it's happening, though, Steve? I mean, look, I get it. I am well aware of...
Because I've been a Celtic fan for all my life and I'm 65 years old. And this is what they do. This is what they always do. And I'll tell you what will happen. If we don't qualify for this Champions League, I'll go further than what James said.
But a couple of technical, though. But just to be like accurate about it, right? So he's... Peter Lowell was now the chairman, not the CEO as he was previously, so in theory shouldn't be doing the day-to-day running of the club. Now, I know what you're going to say, right?
So, it's never going to happen. Right, Come on, don't get thrown at you.
Hold on, to let me finish, though. He was also, to elaborate on what we said earlier, he was also the chairman this time last season when Celtic spent 11 million on Arne Engels, 9 million on Adam Eder, and 6 million on Austin Trusty. Plus the rest. So
we haven't dipped into any kitty at all. I've never dipped into the kitty in 5 years. We've used the money for O'Reilly, Jota, Edward, Aya, Christie, etc., Tierney, etc., etc. We've never actually went into the famous biscuit tin and took money out. We've used what's brought in. Here's what will happen. We don't make this qualifier. Not only will we not buy somebody, we'll sell somebody. And Rodgers, at the end of the season, and you can hear it in his press conferences and you watch his body language and he is frustrated, and all Rodgers has to say at the end of the season, if we don't strengthen, is this. The board's level of ambition does not match my own, and he'll leave. And this time, you can't blame him. They're sitting with all that money in the bank, we've got a 50 million quid game coming up, and we're trying to lowball some winger for 3 million, and they want 6 million. And that's another mistake. You don't sell your best right winger before you've bought a replacement, because then every club in Europe knows they need a winger and they've got a few bob. Let's jack a couple of million onto the price. Peter Lowell's not a good poker player. John McGinn, leave on that to Brendan. The start of the season, just say, there's your budget, there you go, what you do, up to you. And I'll go and sort out Daffabet
and tours and daddy, daddy, daddy. And I'll do what I'm brilliant at. And you do what you're brilliant at. You do yours, Roman, I'll do mine. I'm not going to try and do yours.
Is modern football not a bit more complex than that, though, Roger? Because even to go down the example Stevie's mentioning, Peter Lowell won't be the one that sorts out Daffabet or tours on his own either. That would be a commercial director. There's recruitment staff, Brendan Rodgers. There's a CEO that runs the club day to day. It just feels, it would be nice if things were that simple.
So I think we've actually got a really good corporate board structure in there, all doing different jobs, you know, whether it's Michael Nicholson as chief executive, Christmas Guy's finance director, or whoever it is. Peter Lowell was once in charge of the things he's being accused of just now, and he no longer is. He's chairman of the board. It's as simple as that. It's like a ceremonial thing. He does a lot of the ECA work for Celtic, jets into Europe, and, you know, represents them in different bodies and different associations. But if Celtic fans aren't happy at what's happening through the summer, then, you know, Michael Nicholson's a guy who does the deals with Brendan Rodgers. Brendan said last week, actually, he was in charge of who was coming in. Now, they might not be coming in as quickly as Brendan would like, or as Stevie would like, or as other fans would like. But there's all manner of reason for that. They did spend an awful lot of money last summer. Now, if you want to sit here and debate whether Celtic got value for money, as you said earlier, Gordon, for the £25 million, that is a completely different argument. They spent big in January to bring Jota back. Very unfortunate what happened to the laddie, and I hope he makes a quick and full recovery. Kieran Tierney hasn't returned to the club for two balloons and a stick. He'll be getting highly paid as well. The Nicholas Coon deal had to be done. If no one can say to me Celtic had knocked back 17 million quid for Nicholas Coon. They couldn't. And apart from anything else, Coon was agitating to go and wanted out. So the next job for Michael Nicholson and the Celtic board, and for Brendan Rodgers, is to get deals done, get them over the line, so that you don't get to the last two or three days of the window and have to overpay.
Andy, what's your view on it?
Not too dissimilar to what we spoke about already. I can understand Stevie's frustration. We've just spoke about the sort of lack of transfer activity so far at Celtic. I've never been quite on board with the discontent for Celtic fans in terms of enough spend. Now, I'm not saying for a minute that Celtic shouldn't go and spend big on players if they feel as if they're right fit, but I just think that model that Celtic have had has been so successful for such a long period of time. Now, that's not to say that if there's a player out there that really won, i.e. a Kvistgaarden, and his transfer quote is £7.5 million, if Celtic want him that bad and they've got the money, they should go then and get him. I don't think they should then penny pinch over £1 million or £2 million and then get left towards the end of the window before you're trying to sign somebody else. I don't disagree with that at all. But I just think a lot, you know, we had the caller, I think it was another James earlier on in the show, that talked about how Nygren already looks as if they've found another gem within him. It only cost Celtic £2 million. He could be the next Matt O'Reilly that we've been speaking about. But a lot of it, I think that I'm kind of, you have to almost refrain judgment from now towards what's going to happen at Celtic at the end of the window. But I can't disagree that I've been really surprised at how slow it's been so far.
So you don't think this gets better, Stevie? You don't think you'll be feeling different in a month's time when the window's coming to a close?
I've been here before when we sold Van Dijk, Wanyama, etc, 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 didn't qualify for the Champions League. Let me put it this way to you. We were playing Aston Villa in a Champions League game. We had a chance, and we decided to sell our best striker the night before. And by the way, we still no replaced him. This is managed decline. This is what this is. This is like when Strachan came in, and, you know, we're trying to do things in the cheque. It's not tough for skin. You know, we're sitting with millions, and we're giving the tax man millions in a cheque instead of buying a player with it. And we're not saying go and buy players at 15 and 20 million and all that, right? But what we've done is we brought in 20 players under Mark Lowell. And whatever these players were, million here, million there, da 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 da. Instead of buying 20 million players and trying to find the next Henrik Larsson and buying, you know, for a gem, why not just buy 3 at 6 million? First-team players, and within a windy, 2-3 windies, you've got the spine of the team. We're still crying out for Scott Brown. We still need a hard-as-nails midfielder. We've got technicians in there. Hatate, Bernardo, McGregor. Rangers came and bossed us 3 times because we don't have a guy like that. I can see that. I'm not a football manager. You can see that. Brendan Rodgers surely can see that. But why is it not getting done?
Scott Brown is obviously a wonderful servant for Celtic and won a lot and led the club. Yeah. And profile wise, Stevie's probably right, but then at the same time,
I don't think
there's
been
not,
many complaints that the week Callum McGregor's kind of dovetailed into that number six
Celtic
role.
Celtic have won quite a lot since then, and have also even last season, you know, progressed in Europe.
As you said earlier on, the cup final has shaped the narrative during this summer. Had Celtic won that penalty shootout, they would have had a treble and had been to the last 24 of the Champions League in that great tie against Bayern Munich.
But to be fair then to fans like Stevie, though, they might respond to that by saying, no, it exposed, you know, the shortcomings or whatever.
The cup final?
Yeah.
And listen, and it possibly did. And since then, you know, the full extent of Jota's injuries become apparent. Nicholas Kuhn's been sold. Celtic need to get players in. But, you know, Celtic broke their transfer record twice in the last summer window. And they spent £6 million in a centre-half. So I think they will spend money between now and the 1st of September. Of course they will spend money. The key for Celtic is getting better value for the big money than they got last summer.
Yeah, it always has to be that, Andy, doesn't it? You know, like Stevie's saying about why not buy £3-6 million players. Well, Austin Trusty might be your £6 million player, or Adam Ida might be your £9 million. Don't mean to be too sort of sarcastic about it though, because ultimately it's like anything, the more you spend, it should in theory mean more quality. But Celtic, that's why we have this conversation all the time, because they operate at a very sort of precarious level where they are sort of too big financially for everyone else in Scotland, but not quite enough. You know, you can spend 11 million and 9 million and it might not guarantee you that you get this, you know, club changing player in.
Yeah. Well, they done it with Cameron Carter-Vickers, didn't they? When they brought him in for £7.5 million after his season long loan from Tottenham.
And Jota first time round.
So I think that's two examples. You see what happens. You just spend that extra cut of millions, but then you just spoke about, Stevie mentioned the strategy of 3 players, £6 million+. That's what they done last year. So in terms of the strategy they had last year, Stevie, you're quite happy with Celtic done. You just weren't quite happy with the output, but you think that is the way forward for transfer windows moving forward.
Andy, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't mean to be offensive. I'm not getting a dig at you because you're a Rangers man, and, you know, I respect you on that, right? But most Celtic fans now have aspirations, have moved on from domestic dominance to making a fist of it in Europe and not getting embarrassed. We used to go to Barcelona and beat 7-0, 5-1 with PSG, etc., etc. You need to have to take my rosary beads for the game to count the score, mate, right? So, you know, we want to try and get some sort of decent, you know, respect in Europe, and you're not going to buy that if you're buying players at 1 and 2 million. 20 years ago you could get players at 2 and 3 million, they'd be brilliant. There are exceptions at Matt Riley, for example, but generally in this life you get what you pay for, right? So Peter Lowry on the board still think you can get players for 3 million that are going to be first team ready. You don't. That was then, this is now. The football landscape's changed, the money down south, crazy stuff, right? Still good markets in the European stuff. But you need to go and spend some serious money. We're supposed to be after a guy, a winger here. I think it's Ajax, right? And they want £6.5 million for him. And this guy's supposed to come in and replace Kuhn, who we've just spent £17 million. And we're lowballing him, getting £1.5 million and £3 million and all that. I mean, you know, what are we playing at? We've got the money. If that's what the guy's worth, go and get him.
We spoke about that earlier. That's the boy, Jacob Broomfoot. I was surprised about that myself, because I think that Go Ahead Eagles put a valuation on the player. I think Celtic were well under that with the first offer, then increased it ever so slightly for the second offer. So you're talking about progression in Champions League. Where do you see the areas in Celtic's team right now where you feel like they have to go and spend big to progress again in Europe?
I think we need a hard ball-winning central midfielder. I think we need another centre-half to complement Carter-Vickers. I think we need another striker. Ready, first-team ready striker. And obviously we need to do something on the wings. We're relying on Yang and James Forrest. Come on, Champions League, Yang, James Forrest, really?
Yeah, I think obviously Roger, because Nicholas Kuhn's left and Jota's injured, that's glaring. But just in terms of the exchange here between Stevie and Andy, it really highlights what we were just talking about what that level is, what that aim is. Stevie says, we've moved on, we want to progress in the Champions League. And some people within Celtic would say, what just happened in the season that's passed? And that's fine, then once you've done that, what's next? Do you need to go further? What do you need to spend to beat Bayern Munich? Other people then come back and say, well, we aren't far off it. You know, so
listen,
there's a reason we have this conversation every summer. Stevie's convinced that it's because Celtic don't spend enough money. I wonder if the truth is it's because Celtic are constantly trying to find what that sort of acceptable level is once you start winning all those domestic trophies like they have done.
And it last season was a bizarre season for Celtic. You know, they were a penalty kick away from a domestic treble, which is never to be sniffed at. You know, they did lose 7 in a European game at the start of last season against Dortmund. But then they bounced back and had some terrific European results all the way through to that great tie against Bayern Munich. They did lose their sort of cloak of invincibility, if you like, after New Year. You know, in the calendar year 2024, Gordon, and Stevie will remember this, they only lost twice. They lost that Dortmund game and they lost once at home at Hearts earlier in the year. I think they've lost 5 or 6 games since the turn of the year between European games and domestic games. The games they lost to Rangers will hurt them. Of course it will. The game they lost to Aberdeen on penalties will have hurt them and will have concentrated a lot of minds about where this Celtic team actually stands. The departure of Kuhn, the injury to Jota, the inability thus far to replace Kyogo will all worry Celtic supporters getting into the season. They don't sound as confident as they normally do, but there's still 5 weeks of this window. There is still time for Brendan Rodgers and the board to soothe the worries of Stevie and the other Celtic fans.
Thank you to Stevie. What about the sensible donkey's question? Can you name 6 Scottish players since 2000, over 100 appearances, but no Scotland caps?
I'll take one of them.
You're going to take it on the chin.
On the AI.
152, more than anyone else on this list. 152 appearances.
Drop, man.
I think we could get you capped this year if we talk him up enough.
What about your old sidekick? Is Jason Holt one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And one more guess from you. Either of you.
Is Scott Wright one?
He is. So that's 3 down, 3 to get, and we'll get the rest of them when we return.
Number 1 for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Just like that, we're into the final part of tonight's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Back for the first time post summer break in its 2-hour format, and that's us Monday to Friday, 6 until 8, from now until the end of May. Who knows what will happen between now and then? Twists, turns, drama, controversy, madness, all an absolute guarantee, and then some of the stuff that you can't quite predict in there as well. So we're looking forward to all, of course, taking you through the action at the weekends as well, building up to the start of the Premiership season, and still time for you to give us a call. 0141 951 1025. I'll take one more guess on your full-time teaser, please. Always need to reset everything extra, especially at the start of a new season. If you've never heard the full-time teaser before, it's when you send the questions to us and the pundits try and answer your question in the last half hour or so of the show. We're going to need loads of these throughout the season, so get your thinking caps on, please, and send them into the email fulltime@clyde1.com. The sensible donkey sent one in tonight to say, can you name 6 Scottish players since 2000, over 100 appearances, no Scotland caps? Andy Halliday is sitting here and he's one of them. Scott Wright is another, as is Jason Holt.
It's a cracker to kick us off.
Give me a guess.
Well, I wonder if there's a clue going back to, thinking back to the squad about 2000. What about Scott Wilson?
No.
Nicky Clark.
Yes. Okay, 2 to get. We'll get them before the end. I did say we were building up to the start of the Premiership season. Andy, you're here for many reasons, wearing many hats. We love your punditry insight, but as one of our only, perhaps, active sort of players, let's tap in a bit more. Tell us why, or what's different about Motherwell this season. You said, you know, new manager's come in, wants to play a very certain style of football. You had the kind of madness of the previous manager. He was new in and he left after 12 games over the break. So what's different? What's lying in wait for the Motherwell fans this season?
Well, again, probably at most a big turnover in players. Obviously, towards the end of last season, we had a very big squad, probably one of the biggest in the league, to be honest, due to a long list of injuries in the club. A lot smaller squad down, new faces in the door. A more European style brand of football, shall we say. I think Motherwell fans would have had a glimpse of that so far for the League Cup group stage game. So again, going into every season with full excitement and optimism. It's a really tough test for us, obviously, first game of the season.
European style, I've been there just as a fan, went to the Clyde game, went to Stenhouse Muir, went to Peterhead. So the goalkeeper plays very high up the pitch, is that? That's safe to say.
Yeah. Obviously, it's a possession based style. When we're in attack in the opposition's half, you'll find the goalkeeper almost towards the halfway line, putting an extra covered centre half, or like an old fashioned sweeper, shall we say. That obviously has its risks that you've probably seen against Clyde in the first game of the League Cup group stage.
But the manager, I noticed.
The manager's obviously constantly drumming on us. It's obviously a learning process for us. We're going to make mistakes within it, but you know, in the end of it, he thinks that the positives will outweigh the negatives. So, like most teams, you're just kind of finding your feet at the moment. We'll probably be similar to other clubs in terms of you're expecting still another couple of faces in the door, maybe another couple leaving as well. But like everyone, just looking forward to what's going to be a difficult start, but looking forward to the start of the season.
And if you believe newspapers like Rogers, and why wouldn't you? Udinese seems to be the favourite destination for one of the transfer sagas of Scottish football in recent times, and Lennon Miller, much discussed for many reasons. You going to give us a wee exclusive insight? What are you telling us?
Not any more than what's been reported, in all honesty. I think, listen, I'd be lying if I came on here saying that you weren't already preparing for life without Lennon Miller, you know, knowing the amount of interest that's going to be shown in him this summer. Obviously, he's also in his last year a contract at Motherwell, so I don't really think it suits any parties where you can get a club record fee for him. I think there's been plenty of interest, but not as much in terms of concrete offers. I think, by all accounts, that seems as if that's ramped up over the last week or so. But hopefully, while he's still here, we can use him for as long as we possibly can and enjoy him while he's here. But like I said, I think everyone, in terms of us as players, I think we've all been preparing for life after Lennon.
I don't think you'll see Lennon Miller playing for your team again. Sorry to disappoint you, boys, because Lennon Miller's value to Motherwell supersedes his value for a game or two on the pitch. And we've mentioned Jota's name a couple of times during this show. I don't think Motherwell could risk putting Lennon Miller out there. They don't get a bang in a pre-season game against Carlisle, I think. That's a heart in the mouth job.
Is that why you took the penalty in that game? I wondered. I thought somebody must have gone off.
You know, there's so much money involved in Lennon Miller's future for Motherwell that they will want to get a deal done. And you know,
think it gets to like an interesting point that though, because I think most Motherwell fans would obviously agree with you. But you said a game or two. You could be looking at four or five or six or whatever games by the time the window shuts.
I don't think it matters. There's not enough could happen in those six games that would get close to the value of the financial boost that the club would get from Lennon. It's huge for Motherwell to get a fee in the, you know, £4.5-5 million. It's transformative for Motherwell.
Well, listen, we've spoken about that many times, and I'm sure we will continue to. It was just to get Andy's Motherwell insight. Roger, on another night, we could have spent 2 hours talking about the League Cup group stages. I think most people look at it as its flaws potentially, but most people like it. It brings back competitive football nice and early. So the group stages are done. We mentioned at the top Celtic Falkirk, Killie Dundee United, Rangers Alloa, Livy Hibs, St Johnston, Motherwell, Morton Aberdeen, Partick Thistle Ayr, and St Mirren Hearts in the next round. What have you made of it? I always think it's a bit of a sort of, you can only really mess it up if you're the Premiership team. Yeah, you don't get much credit for going through.
As Stephen Presley and Dundee have found out,
they're the only real losers of
the group stages. Lost at home to Airdrie, lost away at Alloa, didn't score a goal in either game, were out after two games. Not really what a new manager requires. Dundee have lost an awful lot of players. You know, with Rangers and Celtic fans talking about rebuilds in the summer, there is no rebuild going to be bigger than the one at Dundee. And they need to do it quickly, because this Premiership is an unforgiving environment for managers and new players. They need to get players in the door very, very early, because they've actually got a tough start. You know, they've got Hibs first, then Rangers at Ibrox, then Killie at Rugby Park, and then a Dundee derby. That's an unforgiving run of fixtures for a new manager already under pressure.
What have you made of it? You've played in it before, played in it this season. Do you feel that? So when Motherwell draw their first game at Clyde and are drawing until the last minute of the next game against Peterhead, do you start to almost wonder about what that does to you if you start your season by going out of that league stage when you really should be going through against lower league opposition?
Yeah, listen, you obviously try not to, but you also know that there's ramifications for results that are unexpected. And obviously we spoke about, you know, getting to the club to Hampden for the first time in 7 years last year. You know, trying to replicate that, trying to go through the group stage is your first hurdle, then take it for there. And then obviously not getting off to a great start in the first game, and then obviously running it extremely close for the second. But you know, I'm in the same boat as you guys. I personally quite like the League Cup phase. You know, I'm always someone that hates playing in meaningless games, i.e. friendlies, playing in front of closed doors. So I think it's great to get back to competitive action nice and early and get fans back in the stadium.
Almost out of time, let's quickly round off the teaser. Six Scottish players have played for Rangers since 2000, over 100 appearances, no caps. Andy Halliday's one. He got himself on that, by the way. Scott Wright, Jason Holt, Nicky Clark.
Alec Gray.
No.
I'm toiling.
We did wonder about Greg Wilde.
Nope.
Not enough games.
A fullback who had certainly two spells. Maybe even. I don't think he made it into the.
Richard Foster.
Stephen Smith.
Was it two or three spells?
Two.
Stephen Smith. And the other one, Andy, you probably worked with him.
And yet.
Who?
No, I knew there would be somebody.
I think you worked with this guy as a coach, maybe? Trod a path a bit like yours loosely. Played for Motherwell, but played for Rangers clearly as he did in the question.
Stephen Hughes?
Nope. I see where you're going with that. So who's the other one in that category? Similar era and so on as well.
Wow.
No. I'll need to put you out of your misery. You two have failed your first night. The brain boxes of Super Scoreboard.
The Motherwell, it's the coaching.
Quickly, Bob Malcolm.
Bob Malcolm.
We are back tomorrow from 6. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.